Produced by GauntletCreative.com.
This episode of Neckbreaker is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Entertainment here.
Thanks for downloading this week's episode of Neckbreaker. I'm your host, Brian Thompson. Over the weekend, I got a chance to hang out at Hothfest in Chicopee, Mass., with tons of past show alumni and some brutal death metal bands. Had a great time, and I was able to track some interviews with the dudes in Artificial Brain and Cognitive, who are both on tour starting this week throughout the U.S. And for their full dates and all their schedule, everything they have going on, just check out facebook.com/cognitivenj. Oh, and be sure to visit neckbreaker.net/shop and pick up some shirts that we have on, up for sale. The sales go right to our hosting costs, and it means the world to us, really, especially the raccoon-themed shirt, where the proceeds for that shirt are going right to the New England Wildlife Center to help a great cause for their animal rescue efforts. So sales of that specific raccoon shirt end January 31st, so grab those ASAP and definitely help out an awesome cause. All right, enough hogwash. Here's my session with Artificial Brain, shortly followed up with my interview with Cognitive. Check it out, and I hope you enjoy. Our guests on this week's episode of Neckbreaker, Sam. All right, we have Keith all the way in the back fucking row of the van.
Hello.
Sam in the row in front of him. Will next to me. Dan, passenger seat. And whose name, I know it sucks, but you're the last one. Your
Johnny.
Name?
Johnny.
John. The John. John. What's
Johnny
up?
Boy.
Hey.
John's taking care of the driving. We're at Hothfest here. This is the death metal band Artificial Brain. You guys are based out of like New York area?
Long Island, more or less.
Cool. Yeah. You know, we're back at Hothfest here outside in fucking Chicopee, Mass. In a goddamn parking lot in a green van. And we're, you know, you guys are on the road with the dudes in Cognitive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. By the time this episode drops, the tour's over. But we're you know, hopefully,
it was an awesome tour.
Yeah, the tour was tight.
It was so good.
Standing room only.
We had a sold sick out. Time.
Regardless, can you talk about the pros and cons of winter touring? Because this is mid January here. So far, it doesn't look like winter out here. But can you speak to? Have you guys done a lot of winter touring?
Yeah, we have. Absolutely. Yeah,
I think we've pretty much only done between September and like December, January.
Yeah, yeah.
The first tour was September, October, and then last year we were on the road in December.
Yeah.
And when you hit like Colorado, when you hit the Midwest, sometimes
cool.
Yeah,
could be sketchy as fuck sometimes.
Yeah, we were just talking about sleep. Sometimes we always have like one or two guys sleep in the van. Even if we get a hotel room, and when it's cold out, you gotta have your slumber bag and all that stuff.
Yeah, last night we were supposed to sleep at home, and we ended up not having keys, so we just slept in the van outside of our home.
No one had keys.
I slept at the crib.
That's gotta be the worst feeling.
It was all right.
There's one bed. Somebody whose house it was. I don't know if you guys lived together or what.
No.
Just to be outside that house and be like, are you kidding me? There's a shower right there.
Yeah.
But we got the heat cranked at 4 in the morning in the van.
Yeah.
But like no like road troubles, like I know I'm just gonna knock on wood. I know you're just getting in the road now, but
we had a screw in our tire earlier. That's pretty much.
Oh shit!
That was the worst thing.
Yeah, we got a low tire pressure light on. That's
We had a trailer on the first tour we went on, and somewhere in Oregon, somewhere the trailer I guess had become unbalanced. You guys remember that?
And
We got a flat in San Francisco. And then when we were getting the flat fixed, we realized that the trailer, like, because we had, it was our first tour, we didn't know what the hell we were doing. We put all the gear on, like, one side of the trailer, basically, or, like, the heavier gear on one side. So it totally fucked up the like, wheel well.
It melted the metal.
So if we hadn't gotten that flat, then, like, we might have been in a horrible accident.
But the good people at U-Haul Oregon, we just pulled in and they replaced it for us, so we were good to go.
Yeah, that was good.
Business.
Yeah,
but nothing winter related, really.
Yeah,
we just cold.
Driven through some crazy weather, but you know.
Yeah.
All right, so you guys dropped. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is it a Labyrinth Constellation? When did you guys drop that? 2014.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you been a two-parter? Have you been writing for a new release? And have you received any shit for taking 3 years?
a little bit.
So we're done. We've recorded the new album, and we just finished getting all the artwork and like the layout and everything finalized for a spring release.
Sure. Okay. Spring 2017, right?
Yeah. And it's it's called Infrared Horizon. It's going to come out on Profound Lore again.
Yep.
Where'd you guys go to get it tracked?
Colin Marston, same guy who did the last record, who's in Gore Guts and Behold the Octopus and Dysrhythmia and Crowlis and a million other bands.
Yeah.
You know, he probably knows your sound at this point. Kind of knows what you're getting into.
Yeah.
Right?
He's pretty good.
Comfortable with him?
Yeah, we know him pretty well at this point.
Yeah, he's like a best friend, pretty much. So. It's fine.
He's kind of like my best friend.
Best friend.
Our sticker is on his coffee machine, so, yeah, so you know, don't fuck
with
that.
Well, I mean, we put it there.
Yeah.
He didn't put it there.
Don't give away the magic.
He didn't take it off.
That's right, he didn't take it off. He left it on there.
Might not have noticed it's there yet, but...
You know, best friends.
You know, past projects, I got to speak. Can you guys maybe do the Wikipedia version of projects you were in before Artificial Brain? I'll pass it to the back row there.
None. I did a couple of other things during this whole process. I was in a band called Vice Massacre, and we did like some shows in Brooklyn and Manhattan and stuff, but that ended up kind of falling apart. I'm pretty sure... they might be coming back for something, but I don't really know. And then I went on tour with Pieron. We did a tour. It was us, Pieron, and Geigen. And I was just kind of like filling in Pieron for a while, but I never really did anything more than that. So right now I'm working on some stuff with a couple of guys back in New York. But other than that, it's really just been this.
Which, I mean, you guys are doing you're going to be busy in 2017. Got a new album coming out, touring with Cognitive. So like, just from there, you're going to be busting ass.
Yeah. Hopefully, keep us tight.
Ripping ass.
Ripping ass.
Fucking around.
Ripping, not raping.
Having fun and stuff.
That's off to you, Sam. Your history before Brain?
So before Artificial Brain, I didn't... mostly, it was just like garage-y kind of bands, like crap things that never went anywhere.
So every band ever?
Yeah. But since I joined Artificial Brain, I've done a little... little more. I'm in a band called Luminous Vault right now. That's like a two-man kind of black metal industrial sort of thing. Like
studio project, though. Like just like
no. We did a tour recently with a band called Imperial Triumphant out of New York, and we're going to be probably touring in the spring. Also, we also have a record coming out on Profound Lore. So I'll have a busy spring.
Two-piece black metal that actually tours. That's a good thing. Like, you know, there's a lot of two-piece black metal projects, but no shows. They just all keep it studio, and that's cool. That's fine, you know, but...
Well, we have a drum machine, so it's just guitar and bass and a drum machine with, like, synth tracks on it and everything. So that makes it a little easier, you know. It sounds full because we have all the tracks and everything.
So I got to pass it to Will, then. Do you have a history before, Brain?
Yeah, I was in a band that people might know called BioLich for, like, about 9 years. A few years after that, I joined Artificial Brain. Some people still know BioLich, or some people, like, I guess the internet kind of kept it alive in a way. And before that, I was in a band called Cursed Earth that didn't really do much. We played a bunch of shows. We used to open up for Dehumanized a lot in the late 90s at Castle Heights in Queens. That's when I was in high school. And now I'm pretty busy nowadays. Besides Artificial Brain, I've been in Buckshot Facelift for... It's going to be 13 years this year in 2017.
Dude, right on.
Yeah, man. We're putting out our fourth album very soon, probably in February or March of this year, and it's going to be on Paragon Records from New York. It's more of a grindcore, hardcore-based band, I'd say, than Artificial Brain, but people can look that up. And then I'm also I'm fortunate to be in Afterbirth, which is a Long Island death metal band that used to play shows back in the day with like Suffocation and Eternal Bleeding, a lot of those bands. And they put together a demo, and then they broke up. And a few years ago, they got back together, and they ended up needing a singer at some point. You know, they fell out with their singer, and I knew the whole style of the band. Their singer, actually, I kind of learned doing death metal vocals from studying that band. So now. Long story short, I recorded an album with them, and I'm playing with Afterbirth now on vocals. And we're going to be putting out an album later this year on Unique Leader Records. So I was very busy last year recording, and I'm looking forward to playing shows with all my bands.
Afterbirth, that's a
That's a sweet name. That's
yeah,
tight.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
So good. It's
yeah,
catchy.
Yeah, yeah. My boss thought so too. It's not safe for work. Some of my bands.
I was gonna say yeah. That's not the corporate suit environment. Band.
Yeah.
Yeah, because yeah. You always get that. You go to the if you work in an office or some bullshit. Oh, you're playing a rock band, huh? You know,
yeah,
expect
yeah.
Some cover bullshit.
Yeah. Are you guys like Seven Dust or?
Or Godsmack or yeah, both. Are you kind yeah, of a little man. Hybrid. You're like nah. Where I'm a brutal death metal band called
yeah.
Afterbirth.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're hired.
Or Buckshot Facelift.
Yeah. So then I guess I got to pass it over to Dan. Projects?
Yeah, the only other band people probably know me from is Revocation, but...
Oh, you're in Revocation.
Yeah, but I was actually in Artificial Brain before I joined Revocation, so...
Oh, so, okay, so yeah. You kind of just jumped.
Yeah, clear that up real quick.
Yeah. It's not really. It's not really a side project. Neither are they. It's just like two different things, you know what I mean?
But this has been longer.
Yeah. Yeah, but we also were far less busy in the beginning. You know what I mean?
I understand.
So,
yeah.
I've been super busy with Revo, and then that's why we have Oleg, who's not here right now, but he fills in for me when I'm not around. And
just tag out style?
Yeah, he's like basically like essentially a member of the band. You know, he's done tours that I couldn't do.
That counts.
So the band can like exist if I'm not here, you know what I mean?
Like what about like writing wise?
I write the stuff.
Yeah.
Everybody has like some input, but like I usually write in my room. And then, like, bring it to the band. And then we'll jam it out.
It's fucking perfect.
Dan used to be in a band called Cyanide Breed.
When I was in, like, high school.
Yo, that was my first show.
But when I was in Biolich, we played shows with Cyanide Breed. And we didn't even really know each other at that point. Yeah,
yeah, but I remember admiring Will's vocals. and the flannel he was wearing.
Yeah, yeah. I had some tight flannels in the early 2000s.
I think when we were, like, 14, Cyanide Breed played. And me and John went. And Sam was there, and that was my first show. I don't know about John.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, you know, fast forward a little under 10 years, like, you're in the same band. That's pretty cool.
My brother actually, years and years ago, what is this, like 10 years ago at least, Keith?
Yeah.
He challenged Keith to a drum-off.
Yeah, drum-off.
In my basement.
What?
We were all hanging out in a parking lot, and he challenged me, and I was like, nah, man, I can't. And he's like, well, I understand if you think you're going to lose, then that's fine. And I was like, all right, let's do it.
It's over. He pretty much just pantsed you at that point.
Yeah,
dude,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
on.
He helped me, though, man.
So Nick brought Keith to the house, and, like, I didn't know Keith at all. But I was like, all right, Nick's going to, like, drum battle some kid from town, so I'll go down and watch.
Fuck.
And it was mad sweet.
I, like, walked downstairs. I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like hip hop, man. Like, I mean, like, it's like on the street, like, yo, I'll battle you.
Yeah, yeah, it was like
take
that.
It to the drums real quick.
Yeah, man. But I got the spot.
Nick played like a lot of flashy stuff, and it was good. He was like, you know, tearing it up. And then Keith sat down, and just like played blast beats and double bass, and but like little did he know that that's what I was super down with. So I was like, oh shit, I gotta jam with this kid.
Unlocked.
He plays blast beats and double bass.
Challenge accepted.
You look like a blast man.
That's cool, Dan. Busy, but pretty busy. I gotta pass it over to John then. You have
I got nothing.
Nothing, straight up.
It's Audi Brain. Yeah, me and Dan jammed before this band.
Yeah, we went to music school together as well.
Yeah, we went to music school together.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We did jam with Nick. I forgot about that.
But, yeah, and then we met up with these guys after that.
John's a company man. Company man, he's loyal.
He's got to be on call. He drives us all around.
It's a union thing, yeah.
I asked that question because, like, people go on Metal Archives or whatever, and you're like, I wasn't in that fucking project. I wasn't in that shit. You know, they get shit wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
So we go right to the source to figure out.
Well,
I learned from Metal Archives that Rob Wharton from Cognitive is currently learning piano. He says that on his page.
We're interviewing them next, so
okay,
I need to confirm that.
They actually that Encyclopedia Metallica, they won't let Buckshot Facelift in because we're not metal enough.
Oh, it's like too hardcore.
But
maybe.
It's funny because other members of Buckshot are in Gray Skies Fallen, which is like a 20-year-old doom metal band from New York and shit. It's, you know, but they swear that we're not metal enough to be in that, so you can't learn anything about Buckshot from that,
except for
false information.
Like Killswitch and Gage and stuff like that. They're on the Metal Archives.
Man,
yeah,
panel at who like sets these rules?
Yeah.
You know? What's funny?
So arbitrary.
If you look at the Biolich Metallum website, where they have it listed that the old drummer of Biolich plays in Buckshot, which is completely untrue. So the only Buckshot information on there is false. And there's
damn.
Asshole. All right.
God damn.
Next question. Next question.
So, Brain, you guys have been doing your tour routes and busting ass. can you think of the sketchiest place that you've been
Pensacola?
In? You've visited on tour.
Oh, outside of Logan's place.
Oh,
New Orleans.
New Orleans, yeah.
Sketchy.
That was pretty sketchy.
Yeah, we were like,
well,
what's
like,
the neighborhood
like? A venue or like a place we crashed or?
Yeah, like, I don't know. Whenever you say sketchy places on tour, most of the time a story comes out. So help yourself.
The
anything.
Cat piss apartment.
The cat piss apartment is the first one.
I'm not going to get full
terrible, man.
He's in North Carolina?
Yeah, North Carolina.
Yeah, North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
We stayed with like a friend of a friend who...
Wait, like Fayetteville or?
No, it was
Fayetteville.
Raleigh.
It was
Raleigh.
It was near Raleigh. I don't think it was even in
Raleigh,
but yeah.
Raleigh.
It was like a friend of a friend who wasn't even at the show. Who like you know our friend got in touch. He's like, I know some guy out there. You could stay with him. We went to his apartment and it was just like covered in garbage and
always.
And
it's never a mansion.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. There are like roaches in the shower and shit like that.
Cat shit everywhere.
And cat shit everywhere and cat piss everywhere. And
I took a shower. I don't give a fuck.
The lights didn't work.
Shower's a shower. That's true.
Word up.
Some creepy like oxied up girls who were talking about like coming on people's faces.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. God.
I slept on a mattress and like... at some point in the night, I got woken up by the guy whose house it was saying, like, you probably shouldn't sleep on that, man. It's covered in cat piss. It's like, that's a little late. Yeah.
I asked Fayetteville because when we were on the road and we had some stupid bandmates, they saw a stray cat, and they're like, oh, dude, let's adopt this cat. We're on tour. It's like, no, this is a terrible idea. Of course it's terrible. Of course they took the cat with them in the van, right?
Oh, boy.
Fucking... whose bag did it piss on? Nobody's. Just mine. Just my backpack. Yeah, dude, he didn't want the cat in the van.
Wow.
But you said North Carolina and you said cat piss. I'm like, oh, triggered.
Synchronicity, man.
Yeah, shit.
Meant to have.
All right, so, you know, we're winding down here. Like, what about, like, best and worst shows for Artificial Brain? Do you have a show?
We have one show. That was not good.
Yeah, the worst almost, is an obvious one.
Yeah, we almost broke up. It almost like ruined the whole band. We played an outdoor barbecue in Long Island, and
it sounds good so far. The
food wasn't good, and I was like, guys, I can't. Like, if it's not good barbecue, I can't do nothing.
Yeah, the deal's off.
Will was pissed to begin with, and then it was the first live show I had tried to play drums with a click track in my ear. And I lost the click, and I couldn't hear what the guitars were doing, so I just stopped. And
we stopped and started one song two different times.
Oh, boy. Yeah, we train wrecked twice in the intro riff.
Oh, and you went back to the same song again?
Yeah. And luckily, no one was watching. But
well, there was a small little semicircle of people that were there, and like they slowly started like dissipating. Every time we stopped the song, it started over.
That was my birthday.
But that was a... But that was that. I mean, we can't say that was a. It was a long time ago. It was in the beginning of the band. It was. I think it was before we even signed with Profound Lore.
Oh, way before. Oh,
yeah. In case Chris Bruni is listening, it was before we signed with Profound Lore.
That was. We were playing. Well, the song we train wrecked was Butchering. So it might have been like before, right before we recorded that EP.
Yeah, we butchered it, right?
Yeah, we butchered it.
We nearly broke up after the show in the van.
It was that bad.
Yeah, we were just bummed.
It was
like,
just a mess, It was like a...
Were you guys trashed too? Like drunk or anything?
No.
It was like 3 in the afternoon or something like that.
Yeah, it was a learning experience.
I mean, not that like...
What time is it now?
Oh. 3:55 in the afternoon.
We're going to break up after this interview.
This is your last one.
But I mean,
why'd you tell him the story about the cat piss?
And we have a show. We played a show in L.A. that it was the worst and best at the same time because the band Geigen coerced us into taking dabs, so we were on stage totally terrified. And I played the songs like as fast as I could, and there it's on YouTube if you look up the Complex in L.A. We played the songs way too fast, and it was just. Like, awesome, but also terrible at the same time. But it ended up being good. So it wasn't a bad show, but it was like a funny show that I remember being scared for, and it didn't work out as I'd planned.
Like if you find footage of that show, it's like a it was Glendale.
Oh yeah, Glendale.
Like on YouTube,
yeah.
It would say like Artificial Brain Glendale, and like the version of Worm Harvester that we played sounded like the way that when you watch like silent movies that have stupid piano soundtracks attached, and it sounds like weirdly sped up and like unnatural. It was like kind of like that, like bam, da 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 da.
Yeah,
great.
It's like incredibly like. Probably like 125%.
You know, it's probably an old guy thought, but like nowadays, you want to do some drugs, play a set, you've got at least 4 camera angles from people with their phones
right.
watching that
oh,
entire.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You can't
like,
do that shit.
How many like sets in the '70s where people were all drugged out?
Yeah,
well, no footage. No
right, right. They killed it. That's awesome.
I was saying last night,
right?
Like I was trying to shout out a friend of ours, and I have this anxiety about calling people out on stage that I'm going to say the name wrong or something. It's like microphone anxiety. And I was like, back in the day, you didn't have to worry about that because people videotape everything now. So if you say something on stage, it's going to be online the next day.
That's true. You have to assume everything
paranoid.
You do.
Yeah.
So do you have a best show besides the Vegas stories or a show? It's like, yo, that was it.
I mean, the other... Well, we played Maryland Death Fest. That was really
that was
cool.
awesome.
But the other LA show we played, the LA show on the tour with Black Dahlia Murder that we just did last year, last December. December...
2015.
Yeah.
Was crazy. It was at the Regent Theater, and it was like, I think it was sold out. It was like a 1,200 person audience.
Isn't that cool? Like, you don't do it for the crowd,
yeah.
but you know, of course,
but
it feels great, right?
Oh, it was
super
weird, man.
The
yeah.
best
it was weird
about
to that many people.
Touring with Black Dahlia Murder and opening for them is that you're exposing, you know, our band to so many new. You know, audience members who didn't know about us, and you could take like a selfie with the audience in the back and show your mom, like, "Mom, this many people dig my shit." You know what I mean? Like,
you can
make that.
She work. Doesn't know.
You know, you can show chicks like, "Yo, my band played in L.A." Like, like, you know what I mean? Like, it could work for you.
She still thinks you do open mic somewhere, you know? Like, but that is your crowd shot.
Yeah, I know, Mike. He's not open, man.
Yeah. Oh, shit. If Artificial Brain could play one metal festival in the world, which one would you pick?
I don't know.
Like, you straight up get any offer you want.
Whoa.
Wow. Dead Air is cool. Take your time, really. Think about it.
Well, so we did MDF. That might have been my answer before we did it.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I have one that I've been dreaming of playing since I was a teenager. The Obscene Extreme Fest.
Oh, Obscene Extreme,
Czech
yeah. That'd be cool. Yeah,
Obscene Extreme Fest in the Czech Republic. That would be a dream come true. Just to go there as an audience member, let alone have a band of mine.
They should restart Milwaukee Metal Fest with, like, good bands, and we'll play that.
I went to Milwaukee Metal Fest in 2000. That was a great experience, man. I would love to go to some old school shit.
Did they
start you didn't say if we had a time machine, though.
Oh, okay, yeah. No, I said they had to restart it. That's part of
it's another
part
2017
of
question, I guess. If you guys could book a, I don't know, full U.S. tour, and you could pick any band, which one would you have joined?
Gorguts.
Yeah, probably. That never happens. I ask that question all the time. It's always like, oh, let me think about it. These are my influences. Everyone in the van just said fucking Gorguts.
Yeah. Don't tell them.
Yeah.
No, I won't tell.
We don't want them to know we like them.
we just had them on and they said you guys. So.
Oh, sick. Oh, best friends.
Well, I mean, yeah, Colin's our best friend, so he already knows that we kind of like Gorguts.
Dude, I took a picture with Luke LeMay. Like, we're pretty much friends now.
Yeah, I shook his hand.
Yeah.
I mean, I would also say, I think something we could all agree on would be Suffocation.
Oh, that would be sweet.
I would totally tour with them.
Yeah, that'd be
growing
awesome.
Growing up on Long Island, you know, like, you've been hearing about them since you even heard about metal, you know?
Yep.
And it's great to be at this fest today. You got Pyrexia, Internal Bleeding, a lot of classic New York bands playing today.
True.
Yeah.
The dudes and stuff they're gentlemen. They're good dudes.
They're awesome.
So nice, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I grew up a big fan of Frank Mullen and his stage banter and personality and everything, man.
So good.
Yeah.
Any of you dudes pro wrestling fans?
Absolutely.
Either
hell
past
yeah.
or Let's, current.
Yeah.
Definitely
yes.
past. Yeah. When I was a kid, I loved it.
John knows the
I
deal.
I just recently started watching it again. Like,
past?
Within the year.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah.
What got you back in now? Was there like a certain
a
match?
A friend of mine, I was talking to him, and he was like, yo, it's getting really like sick again. You should get into it. And like, I just started watching Raw one night, and like, I've been
good.
Watching now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Funny you ask.
We're
going to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah, we just got tickets to WrestleMania. We're going
Orlando?
In Orlando, yeah.
Oh, that's going to be so good. Are you going down for like the long weekend? Like going down
Thursday?
Yeah,
we're going to be there for the weekend.
There's so much to do down there.
Yeah, it's
going to be around WrestleMania, all the other small companies and stuff.
I haven't been following the WWE. I used to follow the WWF, you know, years ago when I was a kid, and then lately, the last year or two, I started following some of the independents again. There's some pretty good independent shows that come through Long Island, Suffolk County. I went to a few this summer. Got to see Tommy Dreamer's House of Hardcore when it came
through
Long Island.
Those were always good cards.
That was an amazing. Sandman was there. There was just a lot of old ECW guys, a lot of young talent. It was great. And there's a place in Deer Park on Long Island, kind of by Dare Studio, where Afterbirth practices, that has indie shows. Like, real, like, you feel like you're kind of at a death metal show or something when you walk into this place. It's underground, it's low budget, but it's great. They got called NYW Wrestling, but it's like there's a few different federations or promotions or whatever you call them that work out of this building. But there's some really great independent shows going on in Long Island. Now, I saw Terry Funk not too long ago on Long Island.
Still working it, huh?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he just kind of came out at the end and headbutted everybody and cleared up some disagreement that was going on. But he still got it. You know what I mean? Yeah, 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 man. So there's some good indie. And, you know, we're friendly with, like, Schlack and, Gutter Christ and those guys. You know what I mean? So we're kind of exposed to that element of it, too, man. Yeah, I think my personal opinion, because these guys are obviously with the WWE and WrestleMania now, but I think there's a lot of good underground indie stuff going on, too, man.
You know, it's weird to think of it if you compare it to, like, metal. Like, if you guys only know WWE, that's like if we only knew Metallica.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd rather not compare my wrestling with my
metal. There must be, like, so many smaller companies or smaller bands that aren't the fucking Metallica arena level.
Oh, yeah.
But there's so much good shit going down.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, man. Well,
think about that a lot with other things, too. Like even, like, hockey or, like, you know, baseball. You have all these kids playing on Long Island and or, like, wherever they're from. And there's a ton of leagues before you get to the majors. It's like you don't even realize. I mean, you know, college and, you know, stuff like that. But,
yeah.
You know, even, I don't know.
No, you're good, you're good.
I'm out. Going home. No.
We just got our last question, and then we got our plugs at the end here. Like, this is the deep thinking question, professional.
Oh, let me hit that.
All right. Yeah, yeah. Let me hit that. You got to think about this, but. Dead air. Turn this tool on.
Oh, my bad.
If, alright, you see some kids, 14, 13, it's 2017. What important advice do you give them if they want to start a band? They don't know shit. They want to get into it. What do you, what words of wisdom do you pass on?
Oh, man. First and foremost, I would say practice.
Get tight.
Practice constantly. Yeah, yeah. And don't worry if it doesn't sound good. Just keep practicing. That's it. That's it. You'll figure it out.
Yeah.
If it's different for everyone, just keep playing. Just fucking play.
And, sorry, Keith.
No, it's cool. I'm done.
And I would say if you're ever in a situation where you're entertaining the idea of selling tickets to a show in order to play that show, just make sure that you're in a good position. And you're not going to get taken advantage of. That's the most diplomatic way I could say it. Just whenever you don't be so desperate to get on and play a show that you're going to short sell yourself. There's a lot of money you could invest into a good recording or in the merchandise, and you could play a lot of DIY shows and smaller shows and hook up with your local network and all your other local bands and promoters and stuff and really figure out what the underground's about in your area. And watch promoters, because there are promoters out there that don't know much about the underground scene and will try to take advantage of younger bands. I'm not saying everyone's like that, but that's something I would definitely recommend, because it's something I experienced when we were in BioLich, man. And just work hard at it, man. Like, don't take it for granted. You got to rehearse. You got to drill the songs. If you're a vocalist, don't think your job is to just get drunk and fucking go up there and be an animal, man. I mean, that works for some bands, but, like, you know, you got to study what other vocalists are doing and try to make your sound good and stuff, man. And, you know, just like any other instrument and all that.
I like that advice, to just check other bands. Look, like, the bands you like. Look at what they're doing. You know what I mean? I like that.
Yeah, even down to, like, how they set up their merch. And what they do when they're loading in. Like, watch the headlining bands and the professional bands that have been on the road and watch how they break down their gear and stuff. You know, like, don't be the band that you play and then, you know, you leave all your shit set up and the next band's trying to get on. Yeah, like, you know, just be respectful and understand that you're just given an amount of time to set up your shit and get down and do your thing. And you'll build a better respect in your local scene for your band if people know you like that.
Something I was talking to a young Long Island like a member of a young Long Island band about the other day. It was like how labels are so small now. I mean, Profound Lore, the label we're on, is one guy, and like lots of labels are you know downsizing now too because just the business model doesn't make any sense. So they're less able and willing to take risks, and that means that if you're a young band and you're trying to get signed, that you need to have the most polished possible product before you're talking to a label. Like, we recorded Labyrinth Constellation and, you know, had it mixed and mastered and everything before we showed it to anyone.
So you could chop it around better.
Yeah, exactly. Because labels aren't going to want to, like, develop bands anymore. So you need to, like, on your own dime, speculatively record the best thing you can.
Yeah, and that's not necessarily because labels are cheap either. It's just because the whole market has changed. The music industry has changed, you know what I mean? And the like he said, our label is run by basically one guy, you know?
You know, if you're selling a car, you kind of want to give it a splash of water, keep it clean before you want to show it to your audience.
And it doesn't
hurt.
Same thing
should apply to your demo or your first full length, even if you're ready to go. Shop it around. It's going to be tight.
And that plays into being tight for your shows and rehearsing for your shows, because even if you play one of those shows where you're opening up and there's only five or six people watching you, and you know, if you play a tight set, someone's going to say, wow, those guys shouldn't be opening up, you know what I mean? Those guys should be out and let me put them, you know, you never know, man. Play, you know, just don't take it for granted that you have opportunities to push your band to people, you know what I mean?
Crowds are not dumb. They'll know if your shit's off.
Yeah, especially death metal crowds. Death metal crowds appreciate when someone's tight. They appreciate when someone's bringing something new to the table, and they appreciate. I one thing I found, talk about good shows, bad shows. Crowds appreciate if there's not a lot of people in the audience and the band is still giving it their all. When there's only five or six people watching you and you're just kicking ass, like there's a whole crowd. Those people are gonna go home and they're gonna be like, wow, you know, they really brought it, man. They respect that.
Like, you say you guys do a set. Would you rather have somebody come up to you and say, dude, great set, great set, great set? Or would you rather have them criticize what you did? You fucked up that riff, you fucked up this, you fucked up that. What would you rather have? You know what I mean?
I'd rather good set.
I think it probably depends on who it is.
Yeah. If it was my mom, it'd be all right. Yeah.
I mean, that's not a good way to start a rapport with anyone.
Wow, you really fucked that up.
If it's like, I mean, if it was like, just say, for the sake of argument, like a member of a band we're really good friends with and we've been on the road with, we'll bust each other's balls and we might give a little constructive criticism. But if it's just Joe, you know, somebody you don't know from Adam just walking up out of the crowd like, oh, you did it on the CD, you sounded way better. and you're just like, all right, man, well, I thought fans were going to be sicker than you.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know, dude.
Like, but they would smell better.
Yeah, like, I thought people were going to be cooler about it.
That's I hear, and I mean, Dan knows about this, but I've heard from a lot of my friends who tour Europe that that's what, like, German fans are like. They call it the German compliment.
They'll just, like, complain at you.
Yeah.
Tell you what was wrong with your set.
You know, it's weird. It's like sometimes it's good to have constructive criticism, something you can do with that. But them telling you, you fucked up, that part sucked.
Yeah.
It's like, what am I supposed to do with that?
Too much for me.
Yeah. Well, I think
the spirit of the German compliment is, like, is constructive criticism. Like, they think that if they say, well, you were really good, but you were better last time. It sounds better on the album, but I like your playing. By hedging it or adding that little critical element, they're like helping you somehow.
Yeah, they're helping you build. I mean, I can appreciate if it's from that. But the thing is, if you don't know somebody and you don't have any rapport with them, and then they just come up to you, you don't know if that's constructive criticism or if that's their way of being a wise ass.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't know
that
somebody's
ain't beers.
Personality to begin with. You know.
So. It's about a half hour. So plugs.
Right,
where can people? I don't know. You guys thinking Google you guys or Facebook?
Well, all that. You know, you go to Profound Lore Records. Go to Bandcamp, YouTube. There's tons of live shows. You can see some of the shows that we were talking about and all that. All that stuff, really, man. That goes for the other bands that we mentioned we were in. I'd say for most of them. I mean, nowadays with the internet, it's pretty easy. You know.
Yeah, we got Bandcamp, Facebook page.
What's up, Jarrell? Yo, Jarrell, say what's up.
One of us should be.
Yo, what's up, man?
That's Jarrell from Cognitive, man.
None of us are watching merch right now.
Yeah. Oh, shit, you guys are?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all doing an interview that people want to buy our merch.
It's all right, it's all right.
Yeah. Oh, here's a plug.
You can buy our show.
Wait, segue. If you guys want to buy Artificial Brain merch and you're listening to this, you can go to Cold Cuts Merchandise.
I'll be in a minute.
Go to their website. Go Google Cold Cuts Merchandise. And we just added a new shirt. We got a new shirt design designed by Chaney, the singer of the band Entheos. So there's your plug for
I love that shirt.
Merchandise.
That was perfect timing by Jarrell.
Yeah. That makes you sound so badass. It's like people just hear like there's massive line going down the street right now.
It's probably like one standard, guy.
Dude, there's like 25 people in line over there. Ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
Guys,
standard procedure.
Appreciate you being on Artificial. Let's go have some beers inside after.
Awesome. Yeah, man. Damn, man. Thank
you
so much
for the opportunity. Cheers, thanks,
dude.
Buddy.
Cheers.
Here's a few free ways that you can support Neckbreaker. First off, word of mouth is the best. Tell people at bars, at your office, or your weird wrestling or metal friends that you're listening to the best wrestling and metal show on the planet. Subscribe to the show on iTunes and leave us a rating and review. All feedback on iTunes helps Neckbreaker move up the charts. And stay active on Neckbreaker's social media accounts at NB Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Join the discussions, share some shit, and tag Neckbreaker in your posts. Your activity builds awareness for the show. Thank you for your support.
Our guests on this week's episode of Neckbreaker here outside Hoffest, fucking Chicopee Mass kid. We got Rob and Harry from Cognitive, New Jersey. Is death metal like the easiest way to put it? Brutal death metal, maybe?
Yeah, I think brutal death metal or just death metal is good.
Well, you know, if you're just going to tell somebody you're walking around the mall or some bullshit, and they're like, oh, what kind of band you in? Like, brutal death metal is the way to go.
Yeah, or I would tell them, like, Godsmack, so it really reaches the masses.
You know,
and them guys are like, oh, you mean heavy stuff, like Marilyn Manson. Like, yeah, exactly like
yeah.
that.
It's always like, yeah, you mean like Slayer, man,
Yeah, like that mixed with Disturbed, the heavy stuff.
Yeah, the good shit, you know.
Like Chevelle.
Jesus.
We were listening to them earlier.
So you guys are actually, you're on the road with the band that's one van over, actually, who will be on the next episode. It's Artificial Brain. Maybe we can plug the dates you have coming out. This will be out on Monday, so anything after Monday if you want to promote.
Okay.
For the tour.
So Monday we're at the Bug Jar at Rochester. Yeah. Tuesday we're at Webster Hall in New York City. Wednesday we're at Club Risque in Philly.
Right on.
Thursday, we're at the Sidebar in Baltimore. Friday, we're at the Ground Zero in Spartanburg. Saturday, I cannot remember the name of the place in Nashville, unfortunately. I suck. I'm sorry.
Kayla, sorry, Nashville.
Yeah. And Chicago is Reggie's.
That's actually Sunday. Pretty good. Most people I ask that question to, they have to look at the pass right away. We're in
that
New
would
York
be me.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. I just show up.
Yeah, where you don't even know like what state you're in like usually most days. So, like,
I didn't know
where
state
are we
I was
today?
In this morning
you
when
know
I woke
what it's
up.
Like?
I know exactly what it's like. But if you know you nailed all the dates, but facebook.com/cognitivenj.
Yep.
If I'm not mistaken, probably has all the dates. Get the plug stuff out of the way. So you guys dropped Deformity October, right? Through Unique Leader.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's a generic question, but what do you think is the biggest difference between Deformity and your last release? Is there one thing that stands out as, boom, this is way different? Rob has to reach over and open a school bus door, by the way. You got to set the tone, set the mode for the evening where we're at.
Yeah, we're in the short bus.
This bus is pretty tight.
This thing stands out in a crowd for sure.
Yeah, this thing's legit.
I'm done doing reaching around.
No, you're not. Oh, shit.
Get it.
As far as the new album, there's...
Because it was self-titled right before Deformity.
Yeah.
Got that? Okay, yeah. So, like,
which
the biggest
I wasn't
difference.
A part of. I joined after that release. But the new album, like Rob was kind of insinuating, was there's other angles of writing going on where I was added and Ian, the bass player. Two new members on that album.
So you, both of you would then have a different perspective because Rob was on the last album. And Harry wasn't, so right. Like you're kind of coming in as somebody who only maybe listened to Cognitive versus writing. So, like, what about from like your standpoint, Rob? What's like the biggest difference? Is if
well, Harry, you know, Harry wrote two songs on the album, which we didn't really have before. I wrote like a majority of all the stuff. Jake, our old guitar player, like did stuff here and there, but he wasn't like really into the writing like I was. But I think that the recording quality itself, I think, is bigger and better because we got Alan Dalchus who mastered it.
Tight production.
Thank you.
Real good.
And I think everything was more mature and focused and just more pissed off.
Yeah, you put a, I thought I saw like a music video for it too. You guys doing videos for the new album and stuff?
Yeah, we shot in my backyard.
Yeah.
who cares? That's awesome. Yeah, it's even better. Instead of having to pay for a location or some bullshit.
The whole CD is like loosely based around the Jersey Devil. That's what Jarrell wanted to do. And then like I live in the Pine Barrens, so it kind of just made sense.
Shit. That doesn't get more real than that, right? I guess.
It looks the part.
You know, before Cognitive, can you guys speak to your past projects before joining Cognitive? Because a lot of times, you go on Metal Archives, and I joked about this with Artificial. Like, you go there, and you're like, that's wrong. They fucked this date, fucked that member. But maybe we can clarify, like, what band you were in before Cognitive. Give it to you, Rob.
I had a new metal band back in the day called Altered Perception. That was my first
out of Jersey kid.
Yeah, and then we did a bunch of other bands I don't want to talk about. But I was really proud of The Adept, which that's how I met you.
That's exactly where we met, outside of Philly. We played Philly, but then I think
we played like two or three shows together.
Yeah, because we did that the whole week.
With your brother's band too, yeah, The Summoned.
They were The Summoned, and you were...
The Adept.
The Adept, shit.
And that's how we
met,
yeah.
That's exactly where we met. It's coming back to me now. It's been a while.
Harry's got a pretty good list, I think.
As far as notable bands, I mean, there hasn't been many. I've been in and out of projects growing up like crazy, but I was in a band back in the day called Chiron, Kill the Evidence, death metal bands. I did a short stint for about a year in Single Bullet Theory. After that, I moved on, started another band, Depletion. Like I said, nothing of Cognitive size. This was a definite step up.
Yeah, but like it built a story,
right, to
kind of figure out how you got.
Yeah. I mean, I've been in black metal projects, yeah. Power metal, kind of like everything across the board.
So 80s cover metal bands.
Strictly
80s. Iron Maiden,
Judas Priest tribute band, did it.
Oh shit, badass. Coming up May, you got Maryland Death Fest, right? That's coming up on your itinerary.
Yeah.
Can you like talk about that? That's pretty tight.
I'm excited. We're playing with Cryptosy, and that's like one of my favorite bands.
Lineup's real good.
Yeah,
I mean, it's MDF.
Gorgasm.
Yeah, Gorgasm. Who else is on it? Malignancy. I feel like there was somebody else, but I'm forgetting. I'm just so hyped for
Cryptosy. That list is fucking huge.
Decrepit Birth's playing. That's right. Yeah. Decrepit Birth. Obviously, Autopsy, Morbid Angel, but I don't even know what days they're playing yet.
Are you guys on that? Yeah, you can get the doors.
Yeah,
cool.
We're playing Thursday.
We like sound effects and background noise. It's just cool. Right. It's telling a story.
Whenever someone's in the bus, someone wants to come in.
Yeah. That was very professional of you. We're in the middle of a conversation. Yeah, that's nice.
Perihelion guys. Good guys. Good band. Great band.
So, like, well, how'd the MDF thing come together? You don't have to talk about, like, legal or...
No. We got AMG managing us, and our manager is the guitar player, vocalist of Misery Index, Mark Loppel.
Right.
And we were just like, yo, in between, we've got a bunch of tours coming up that we can't talk about. Some we can. But
that makes sense.
We asked about if he could possibly get us on Maryland Death Fest, and he said, let me try. Boom, we got it.
Dude.
Which is ironic because Artificial Brain did it last year, same time slot.
Same thing, no shit.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah, like, just, that's a good goal to work towards.
I've never
worked
tours
around it.
I've never been there, so I'm really excited.
Man. Neither have I.
It's, everyone says it's boiling hot, and it's just a fucking 4-day party. Everyone's getting
ripped. I don't think anything's going to be hotter than Full Terror Assault that we did.
Yo.
Oh, you did? Did you do last year's?
Yeah.
The one that just passed. The sun, the way it was coming down on the stage that day, we got it so bad where we were like, it was so hot that when we got off stage, we were all saying we were cold. Like, we were like shivering.
Yeah. We got the first year. It was September, but then they moved it to like August or maybe early September.
It's August.
When
right?
was that?
I think it was August, dude. It was the hottest I've ever been in my life.
Late August in the woods in Illinois, Cannon
and it was
Rock.
Just this big, but the field itself is like huge. There's like woods around it, but where you play is a big open field, man. It was like, it was great. I have no complaints, but man, it was fucking hot.
Dude,
it was brutal.
Like, it was hot to the point no one was coming out to like watch. Everyone was under umbrellas, like away from the stage, just watching in the distance. And for the first half of it, because it was just so boring.
Did they have all the stages in that one big field?
Or on the roof?
The first year they had two stages way the hell up on the hill. So you guys know that.
Rob and Ari, thanks so much.
Yeah,
there was one main stage up on the hill.
Yeah, there was that big main stage up on the hill, and then there was one right across.
So that's pretty cool. You guys, you got Maryland Death Fest, and. Can you
the post that I saw on social media about your vocalist. You guys are you kind of in the hunt for a new vocalist, or do you have something already in mind? Or you don't have to talk about it.
No. It's fine. We're looking. We're having people try out. You know, we got a lyric video. That's what we've been trying to get people to just either record their vocals or just, you know, sing over the music, you know, with the lyric video playing. But we've definitely got an eye on a couple of people, but we're still, like, trying to find people. We got a guy filling in for our tour in February, but...
Jarrell's a good dude.
He's the best.
Jarrell's a...
He's the man.
He's a powerful singer.
Jarrell.
So, we got big shoes to fill, in my opinion. We don't want to just settle for someone. Kind of want to explore everyone around the area. So...
Yeah, weigh your options. Yeah. You know, I mean, you have...
We have
get
a fill-in.
In, then
we have a fill-in for February.
That's
so
good.
We're good there. That's going to give us time.
And you know what?
Because we're not going to be doing anything again until like April or May.
Yeah.
After the February tour.
So you got a couple of weeks to kind of figure that out.
Yeah.
A couple of tryouts and all that stuff. But like, you know, from a people trying out standpoint, they may see MDF as like a, I don't know, something they want to do on their bucket list. They go, oh, shit, that'd be tight.
Yeah. Oh, Maryland Death Fest is huge. Even the, just touring. A lot of people never got to do it. Just a lot of people want to do it. And you know.
You guys are on the road a lot from 2016.
I'm thankful.
Yeah.
Yeah, this past year has been pretty busy. Busiest I've ever been.
Every other month I'd see a different tour flyer for Cognitive, whether it be like, you know, West Coast, East Coast. They just constantly busting ass. That's good. That's so good.
Even if we have to get out there by ourselves, I mean, we've done 2-week runs and all that. I think it's
a 33-day tour last summer. You know what I mean? This past summer, we went out.
We got a couple questions left here. We're wrapping things up slowly. You got like a... Does a show for Cognitive stand out to you? One of your best shows and one of your worst shows? Do you have a show that's like... everything went wrong? And take your time. Think about that.
One of my favorite shows was that we played with Between the Buried and Man Philly. It was an off date.
That was
good. We played when we were on our first full U.S. tour. We got a call. I was in Utah in the bathroom actually, and I got a call. And the guy was like, "Yo, do you want to play Mayhem Fest in Camden?" I was like, "Of course." I was like, "Well, you know, we don't do the ticket thing though." He's like, "You don't have to. You just play open and play." And like, that was insane too. That was ridiculous. That was one of my favorites.
Do you have a best show, Harry?
Best show?
Best or worst, whatever comes to mind. There's got to be
thinking
a show.
Thinking of your best show. With your best friend.
I can just think of a couple of the worst ones.
Go with worst, then. Whatever's usually the worst are the ones that that come to mind for people when I ask.
You know what? Probably in Philly at Risque when I finally got... like all my shit together. I go into the first song, first 30 seconds, guitar breaks. So I miss the first two songs of the set almost, having to switch out my guitar. Then the one that I plug in doesn't stay in tune. I can't hear what's going on. I play like absolute garbage. And yeah.
That sucks.
Was pretty rough.
That's pretty shitty for everything to, even your backup, you know, to like kind of shit the bed.
But that's probably the worst time I've had. Just frustrating, but since then has not happened.
Like the fact that that's your worst show is not a
That's not
a bad deal. You know, that's not really, you know, most people are like, oh, we almost broke up. We
got
way too wasted. Couldn't even play a set or anything. And
there's not much of that goes on.
Yeah.
The fighting and all that.
That's cool. You got a bad show, Rob?
Oh my god. Paper Box in New York, when we played, we did that tour, we toured with Wormed, Infernal Revulsion, and Condemned.
Tight package. So good.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
And we're playing. The place is like really, it's got a lot of people. I mean, and that place holds a lot of people too, Paper Box. But my drummer's dropping sticks like left and right. The sound, the people that are like had the back line there disappeared, and I couldn't find them. I was having trouble with a head, and it was everything that could go wrong got wrong. It was bad. It was probably the most embarrassing show I've ever had.
Damn.
Like, I wanted to die. I'm glad I didn't.
Me too.
Thanks.
Otherwise, we wouldn't be here.
But yeah, that was rough.
You know, that for a best and a worst, it's kind of, that's not a very big that's good that you haven't had, like, everything went wrong, band right. almost broke up type of show. And, you know, a lot of times the conversation that we ask that question, it leads to that. So
right.
you guys are in a good you're in a good position.
Yeah, always, you know.
You know, if...
We're adults and friends.
Yeah. If you could play one metal festival, like, you had, like, you could just say, we're playing that this weekend. Like, which festival would you pick?
I'm probably going to say the same exact thing he's going to say. Yeah,
Falcon.
Yeah.
If you just... If that was
definitely.
It, that'd be...
I mean, I'd... I want to go there just as bad as I want to fucking play it. So... Yeah, it would probably have to be that. One of those festivals, like Hellfest
yeah,
or something.
Yeah.
Like.
Even what's the big one down in Australia that happens like once a year? That
Soundwave?
Yeah.
Soundwave Festival, I think. It's a big,
yeah,
huge,
yeah.
huge
it's a dream of mine to go down there ever. So.
You know, like the whole thing they say, like, oh, you should be doing these for like the size of the crowd. You're not supposed to be doing it for, you know. But it sounds better to play a show if there's a shitload of people.
Yeah.
Oh, it's totally.
You know what I mean?
Totally. Like, because, dude, obviously you want to build your audience and all, but, like, you know, as much as everyone wants to do this and, you know, you try cut corners and you try and pay your bills off of it and all that, we all did it, too, because it is fun.
Of course.
And it's always more fun when there's more people especially when they enjoy it.
That's the right conversation to have. Like, just put it out there. A lot of bands are like trying to be like, oh, I don't care if there's five people here. We'll bust ass. And it's like, yeah, but it's going to feel better if there's way
oh, totally.
More people.
No, listen, I always go 110. Like, I've always been that. Like, whether it's one or 100 people, you give it all.
Yeah.
That person's going to
I can't
talk.
Just stand there. It's,
that's
yeah.
true.
It's, I'm you know. All for that. But, of course, when there's a lot of people there, it's just awesome. Like, you can't
yeah,
deny
that,
it.
Yeah.
That's like saying $10
that's
is better than $100. Like, no, it's not.
No. Yeah. Exactly. If you could pick any band to tour with this year, you had any choice, same deal. You're
signing a Fetus.
Fetus.
Yeah,
those
Fetus
guys are
would,
always
Fetus
on the road.
Would be great. Cannibal Corpse, obviously.
Yeah.
You know
yeah,
what I mean? But if I had to go, like, smaller, if Fetus is up there, they're big time, man. Fetus is up there. Suffo.
Yeah, Suffocation would be awesome.
That's possible.
Origin, Psycroptic.
Yeah.
Cattle Decapitation. Surreption.
Any of these tour packages would wouldn't be
Rivers of Nile.
Yeah. They wouldn't be out of the norm. Like, it would be like, oh, we want to tour with Metallica. You know, but like all the bands you just listed, I feel like you're in that tier where you could.
We're trying. We do have some cool stuff like later on in the year that'll get announced that we can't talk about now, but
that's for them to worry about. Let them tease them.
There's a lot of things getting thrown at us, which is nice. It's just a matter of if we can do it, if it makes sense. And
You know, so we're kind of wrapping things up here. It's just a quick chat, but say there's some kids outside the school bus right now, 14 years old, whatever, and they go, dude, we want to start a metal band. What's that advice you can give? Kind of wisdom can you pass down to a couple of kids outside?
Do it.
Just fucking do it.
Yeah.
And that's coming from you coming in from a school bus. Just like follow
your
dreams.
Start a band. I never
sitting there like a king.
Yeah. No.
Do
yeah,
it.
It's the shit.
Fucking live your dreams.
You know, we were talking about it when Jarrell talked about quitting. Like, you know, if you stop, you look like the guy that digs through the coal mine. And he walks away from it, and there's, you know, an inch of dirt between him and the diamond, and you never know if that's you or not.
Oh, shit. That's deep.
And it's harder sometimes, you know, I'm 33, you know what I mean? Like,
I do.
I get it. I get why people, you know, that's part of the reason why we had member changes. You were busy, so people, you know, they're going to lose their job. They can be homeless if they don't have income and blah, blah, blah. Like, I get it.
Life gets in the way.
Yeah, all that stuff. So, you know,
but
it's
like,
not always easy, but it's not always terrible or hard either.
Nothing ever is, so.
Like, you know, it sounds like a generic question. What advice do you give them? But it's a way for me to determine how people are. Like, that's the right advice, to have that positive attitude.
You have to.
Because a lot of band members, we get it all the time. When I ask that question, they could say, don't do it.
No,
and that
I
gets that negative
that.
Vibe out of people, and you can tell which ones
never
are.
Never say that.
You can tell which ones are still having fun doing this, and which ones are doing it, whatever, to pay the bills.
Dude, we had
by.
A great show last night. You know, the turnout here looks pretty good. You know what I mean?
Maximum capacity. Yeah,
that's a big room to fill.
That's a big room.
And
it's looking pretty good in there.
Yeah. So, I'm thankful. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So
you always have fun doing, especially when people are paying to be there.
Like specifically to like band members, like kids who are just getting their group together, just do it. Just fucking start a band.
Do it.
Hustle.
Don't get discouraged and hustle. You got to work for what you want. You can't just, you know, I'm in a band and not really do anything. Meet up almost never, like
drink beers and do nothing.
I mean, depend on how much you love doing it. There's no other feeling in the world like he's saying playing in front of people that high you get. You give that up, you'd be miserable.
Right on. Let's wrap it up with a round of plugs. Your social media accounts and website and all that stuff.
What's it? Facebook.com/cognitiveNJ. I don't know the Instagrams and Twitters.
Instagram is cognitive underscore NJ.
Cool.
Twitter, I believe, is the same. Ian runs that.
Unique Leaders got a merch store up for us, you know, our record label and all that. We got our own Big Cartel up on the page as well.
Indie merch, we're on Bandcamp and iTunes as well. You know, if you want to get the new album and all that. Actually, all of them, including the EP.
Because we don't play music on the show. We'd rather want people to hear our stories and get attracted to the people who are talking and go, oh, these dudes sound pretty cool. Maybe I'll go check them out. So that's awesome. That. Get your merch, and then you're on the road with Artificial Brain until January 22nd, I believe.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, and then we go out on February 11th with Seeker of the Grindmother and Worm with a V, WVRM.
You're touring with Grindmother?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. That's pretty cool.
I was thinking that the other day. We're sitting here miserable in a bus after like 2 weeks. I can only imagine like someone's grandmother traveling the country every night.
Oh, you think they get like a hotel every night? You think they're like...
I was thinking that too.
I have no idea.
I think so, maybe.
I have no idea.
You're going to have to find
out.
She could be a party animal. She could be a monster.
The band members want to go to bed.
Good for her.
Come
good
on, granny.
Dude. Good for her, man. Seriously, think about it.
Not at all.
That is crazy,
was like,
man.
Yo, I want to go on tour and scream over grindcore. Like, that's the shit.
Like, for her to get it, she gets it.
Yeah, and I'm sure she knows what she's in for. Like, I'm sure she knows she's not on a luxury tour bus and all that. And for anyone to be able to say, I'm going to go do that, regardless of their age, because it does take balls to do this sometimes. You know what I mean? You know what you're doing. It's a gamble. And it's awesome.
The fact that she gets it is
sick.
Yeah. You know, like, try to convince, even like if your grandmother knows you're in a band, like, do you like
trying to convince them to even come out to a show?
Like, just convincing her that she's not gonna get killed at some brutal death metal show or something.
Because that's what, you know.
When that grandma from Grindmother gets it. But Deformity dropped October, uniqueleader.com, facebook.com/cognitiveNJ. Buy their merch. These guys are good dudes. They're on the road most of this year, and check them out at MDF in May. Rob and Ari, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Cheers.